Hello, welcome to Just Another Review Cast. I am your host, Anne.
And I'm Robert.
And we are going to be doing the, essentially, epilogue of Hannibal, the TV series.
Take two.
Take two, yes, because I was so crazy with my notes.
On the first one, I just kind of jumped everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you basically wanted to do here was just kind of discuss the series in general.
I was just going to kind of, I have some things here, like, talk about the potential for season four and stuff like that, mm-hmm. ideas and things that have been announced for sure.
Okay.
Like, basically, they have announced for sure that it will take place in Canada, or Canada, Cuba. It was filmed in Canada. Because a lot of the dishes for the titles of the episodes were Cuban dishes.
Yep.
And a lot of the cast was happy about that because they would no longer have to film in Canada. That's where they was coming from. And would actually be able to go someplace warm.
Okay. That's if they film the season four.
Yes. Major if. So.
Okay. And that whole if also comes into play because Amazon also bought MGM.
Yes. And they're still fighting a little bit harder right now, I guess, for Hannibal. And it's kind of... Yeah. I read that like an hour before we sat down to record.
What do you mean it's
yeah? They're having troubles getting this stuff for the TV show.
What do you mean? What stuff?
Rights.
But if they bought them...
It's very confusing.
Okay.
I don't fully understand it. So...
Okay.
And like I said, right before sitting down to record, so I didn't have full amount of time to go through a major article and try to eat food.
Food's so overrated.
No. they've also announced that, yes, Will and Hannibal are in a romantic relationship at this point. Will's mental state is going to be very iffy, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's always been iffy.
It's always been iffy, but apparently it's supposed to be pretty iffier. I don't really know. They're not giving any more details.
Okay.
Just that he's not going to be in a good place. So.
But he's with his Hannibal.
yeah, but we don't know what they're meaning by that. So it could be that he's not in a good place, but yet he is for him.
Yeah.
So, don't know.
Okay.
They're trying to get the whole Silence of the Lambs thing. They really want to do Silence of the Lambs for the next season four.
But it's also going to be kind of difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, rights. It's too confusing for me to try to even understand.
Well, it's not even just the rights, the way they ended season four and the relationship of Hannibal and Jack. Or not Jack, Graham. Mm-hmm. And then you got Clarice coming in.
Yeah. And I don't want any relationship to happen there, like in the book, because that would split up Will and Hannibal.
Yep.
And that would create a kerfuffle that is just...
Kerfuckle-y?
Yeah, it would make the Game of Thrones finale kerfuffle seem tame, I think.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're taking a queer couple and then deciding to turn them straight. It's like, what show hasn't done that? And it would just make it very annoying.
True.
And that's where the kerfuffle would come in.
Who knows?
So, and I would be very much, yeah, no. Not at this point. They went down a road that you can't really turn back from.
Very true.
Not at this point. Not without too much drama. Mm-hmm. And losing more fans than you would be able to keep.
Okay. Now, what do you think this is going to do for the TV series Clarice, though?
I have no idea. I have only watched maybe two episodes of Clarice. One of these days I may sit down and watch it. It's just that after Hannibal, going to just a regular procedural that is Thomas Harris based, just...
It's like an NCIS Killer of the Week.
Yes.
Series.
Yes. It just doesn't work. If it was something completely different, like, say, NCIS, I could probably do it. But because it has that connection to Hannibal, where you can't even say the name Hannibal on it, it's just like, okay.
Yeah. it kind of makes it just kind of lackluster.
Yeah. I mean, Hannibal is what made that whole thing
pop.
Yeah, interesting, to be honest. Okay. At least for me.
Okay.
So, one of my questions is, and I asked this when we recorded before, is it understandable to anyone who isn't a Thomas Harris fan, the TV show?
I mean, who hasn't read the books or seen the movies,
yes,
is what you, what, yeah, what you said.
Yeah, quick notes.
Okay. And my response was yes and no. It's okay. Like you can follow along in a general sense, but you're not going to get all the little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
That they put in there toward the movies.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff they didn't go into as deeply as they did in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... Because you see very little of... Francis Delahide's book.
Yeah.
And how important that was. Mm-hmm. You didn't see his backstory.
Yeah. It was so disturbing that they couldn't even try to do it on NBC.
But yeah. So. You didn't get to see that. So you don't know how he was the way he was.
Yeah.
You just think it's just it's a mental disease that progressed. Not that it was a product of an abusive family home.
Extremely abusive. Yeah. It was so bad that they considered trying to do something with it, but the thing is that it just would not pass. They couldn't find anything that would explain what happened without completely altering things to a point it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it was that traumatic, mm-hmm, that it's just not fit for... with all the stuff that they had in Hannibal, it was not fit for television.
Yeah. The relationship between Graham and Hannibal never happened in the movies.
Yeah.
So you're wondering, so it's like, yeah, everyone has a dark side, but he's an FBI consultant. Why is he going down this road with this cannibal?
Mm-hmm.
And in the movies, he never did.
Yeah.
He actually captured Hannibal Lecter in... Which one was it?
Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, okay. In the beginning of that one, when Hannibal stabbed him and... Well, Will Graham stabbed him in the leg.
Yeah. And then he shot him a couple of times.
I don't know if he was shot. Mm-hmm. Was he shot?
Yep.
Okay. Because I just remember him sticking 3 arrows into Hannibal's leg.
Yep.
Man, that's all I remember of that.
Okay. But yeah, the relationship in the book and the movies is definitely closer to the book, because it was, they'd only met a couple of times, in the book. Basically, the first time Will showed up and to just kind of question him about a former patient of his that died.
Okay.
That was killed by the Chesapeake Ripper. Got just a strange feeling. Returned a few days later and... He finds the wound man drawing.
That every doctor has.
Well, I don't know if every doctor has it. Next time you talk to a doctor, ask a doctor.
Eh.
we could just take a notes tally each time.
Mm.
Basically, and between that and I think the profile and whatnot, he stepped out of Hannibal's office to make a phone call to Jack. And Hannibal attacks him.
But at the same point, at that point, it's all circumstantial evidence. There's no hard evidence.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, he's got a picture of a wound man in a doctor's office that...
It wasn't a doctor's office. It was a psychiatrist's office.
So
that's the thing that they sometimes change. Sometimes he's a doctor, sometimes he's a psychiatrist. No matter what, he's a doctor.
But he was a medical doctor.
Yes, he was a medical doctor. So.
And then he went to psychiatry.
Yes.
I guess the temptation was too great being a medical doctor, though. Nurse, cut off his arm and package it in some dry ice for me.
Oh, man. Which reminds me, whatever the hell happened to his secretary?
I don't know.
They mentioned it in episode 1. She ran off. She followed her heart to the UK. Eh? Really?
Well, it depends if she was rude or not.
Yeah. So, Now, do you have any questions before I continue?
Nope.
Okay. Other things I have is, did you like it?
Yeah, it's not a cup of tea, genre-wise and everything. I'm not into the dramas.
Okay.
I like my anime.
Yeah. I don't really consider it drama. It was really more horror.
No, it was drama. Come with me. No, you're a murderer. Please! Well, I'm getting a taste for it. It's like, I stab you, I love you. It's all drama.
Yeah, well, drama is not quite, I love you, so I'm gonna disembowel you.
It's drama.
Oh, yeah. So was it too hard for you to follow at all?
Oh, the undertones, yeah.
The undertones? Okay.
I'm not one of those take-ins from beating around the bush type people. You gotta kind of slap me in the face with them.
Okay. Was there at any point in which you would have cued in on things?
The Ortolan / Porg scene.
Yeah, he Ortolan'd my Porg. A sentence I never thought I would say. He Ortolan'd my Porg.
She has a little stuffed Porg plush from Star Wars. I stuck it in my mouth. Because we were talking about the Ortolan scene at that time. And it's like, oh, I have the Porg here.
You're going to ruin all Porg for Star Wars, people.
Oh, well, you got Chewbacca trying to eat the Porg.
I know.
/ Ortolan. And you got the other Porg just looking at him with those wet liquid eyes.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Me next.
Scene ruined. Okay, so you would have basically figured it out at the Ortolan scene.
Right, something was going on between those two, yeah.
Okay. And with I know when it comes to subtext, I've done a lot of talking and how my theories are, how I read it, based off of my knowledge and whatnot, but what about you?
What do you mean? I'm going off what you told me.
Okay. I was hoping you would also develop your own opinion here and tell me what it was.
I don't. It's just what you told me, because I can't read those subtexts. I'm not familiar at all with Victorian language.
Okay.
Not whatsoever. I can't help you there, honey. It's just, I'm going off what you told me. This is what it means. Okay.
Okay.
That's it. I have nothing else for that.
Okay. I don't really... do you know any reason why subtext and stuff like that have had to exist? And stuff like that even...
Because of persecution.
Recently. Through movies and everything.
Because of persecution.
Yeah.
And the religious aspects of it.
Yeah. Okay. I just didn't know if you knew about the Hays Code and stuff like that, and that's why...
The Hays Code?
Yeah, it's called the Hays Code, which is
not a clue.
Created in the 1930s. It basically, in movies, you weren't allowed to show same-sex people kissing. You weren't allowed to show interracial people having any relationships. You and just a lot of stuff like that was written in that you weren't allowed to do, and so they had to find subtext ways of showing this stuff.
Okay.
So people could come to conclusions of their own, so to speak.
Okay.
So they could tell one story, and then people who didn't really cue into that would miss it, basically. And usually a lot of people who would review movies for stuff like that were the crowd that would miss it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how it is exactly I came about learning all this, just through basically reading Gothic lit, and I don't know, I just pick up on stuff like that. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay.
So I don't know how to teach someone how to read subtext and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically that. So, I don't know.
So here's one for you.
Okay.
Vidilia scene at the end of season 3.
Oh. Who is...
No, not that one. My question is, did he use the blood that she lost from her leg in a blood and chocolate dessert for that evening? Mmm.
Okay.
Because he said that is one of his favorite desserts.
That was Chilton who said that.
Oh. No, Hannibal also agreed that it was one of his favorites, too.
Yeah, but it was mostly Chilton who talked about that.
Okay. But still.
I don't know, maybe. I know that there were supposedly oysters there as well.
So they're planning on having a grand time after dinner. Oysters being aphrodisiacs and everything.
Well, that's also what he had her constantly eating and whatnot in Italy.
Okay.
I went there with it, not the aphrodisiac part of it.
Well.
So.
I mean, this kind of makes you think, it's like, all that leftover blood coming from the leg and everything is like, you make blood and chocolate dessert.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or blood sausage.
I don't know, I've never had blood sausage.
I know.
I don't know really much about it.
Yeah, neither do I.
Okay.
So your next question would have been?
Did you catch, mine is more subtext based.
Okay.
Did you catch any of the BDSM subtext in the show?
Oh, you mean when he was all roped up?
Before then.
With the collar. And spreader bars.
Before then.
Who's there? He had a lot of people tied up, though, before then.
Who?
Didn't he?
Who's he?
Hannibal.
Okay. When did he tie someone up?
I don't know. But no, I probably didn't catch any of the BDSM stuff.
Okay.
Like what?
Well, most of it is the amount of time, I think about 5 or 6 times Hannibal is the one who actually gets tied up.
Yeah. He gets tied up on the cross, like, on the, from the orderly.
Yeah, the orderly. That's eh. But the next one, I think, is that sequence when he's tied up to the tree.
Yeah, with the rope around his neck and your stag is pulling the rope to cut off his head.
Yeah, and he's sitting there tied up to the ropes and whatnot. At the same point, he is confessing his love. So there's a little bit of imagery there.
Okay.
The next one would be when he has the straitjacket on and is tied up. What?
No, go.
Okay. and is tied up, and Will Graham cuts his throat.
Well, it's not that he's tied up, he's in a straitjacket. That's automatically binding.
Well, yeah, but hanging, that's the word I was looking okay. for. Hanging by probably something hooked onto the straitjacket.
Yeah.
And Will Graham cuts his throat.
Okay.
There's a lot of elements there, too, especially the way they were eyeing each other and stuff like that. So, and that was, again, the stag scene, fantasy sequence.
Yeah.
Not real. Then
yeah, it would have made for a short series.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next scene, oh, I think I skipped one. When Will is beating on Randall Tear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he is not seeing Randall Tyr. He sees Hannibal first.
Yeah.
Before seeing the Wendigo. But when you see Hannibal, he's pummeling him, but Hannibal has blood coming out of his mouth, and he's just sitting there all smiling and happy about it. So.
Okay.
And then you have the next one, which would be the actual straitjacket scene. When they actually happens. Nothing really there, though, I don't think. I'm trying to think in order here. And then the next one would be the conversation between Hannibal and then Anthony Dimond. The breaking wheel.
Okay.
That one was pretty obvious, I thought, but...
Yeah.
So...
And then we got to the whole slap you in your face one.
Yeah.
Anything after that one?
Okay, what's the... You've used that term now for the Ortolan scene. Are you talking about something else?
They're putting it into your face. They're making it obvious.
Oh, okay.
They're not trying to put anything in front of it to hide it.
Oh, okay.
They're saying, hey, here you go, take a look at this.
Okay.
Let me slap you in the face a few times to make it obvious here.
Okay. Yeah, then there's that.
Where he's tied up in Mason's pig farm.
Yes. pardon me. But the whole dynamic between him and Will as well. Just kind of how he's always asking Will how he would want to kill him. And just the way they talk back and forth regarding it and whatnot. That whole bit kind of has some undertones there, too.
Okay.
So. Okay.
Okay.
I just didn't know if you caught that aspect of it.
Other than the breaking wheel, because we had that conversation afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's... Yeah. I remember that conversation. Okay. So. Other than that, basically, Will's... One of the things I talk about a little bit is... you remember how Bedelia says Hannibal has a person suit?
Yep.
Have you noticed Will has one, too?
I mean, he's different around Hannibal than he is around Jack?
Well, anybody, but yeah.
Yeah, because he's able to be himself around Hannibal.
Yeah, and even right away when we first meet him, when Jack comes to try to get his assistance with the Hobbs case, pardon me, there's this conversation where he asks what Will's issues basically are, and he just kind of guesses as well, and Will just kind of agrees with it. Mm-hmm. He tends to agree with whatever people are guessing about him and kind of stick to that instead of letting anyone see who he really is.
Yeah.
And so that's just one of the things I've kind of picked up on. And he does that a lot in the book too, including he'll take on like manners of people. Like if you talk in a certain way, he'll start talking that way. They really didn't do that in the show. I can understand that. That'd probably get really, really difficult.
Yeah, it could be.
Acting wise, mm-hmm. Especially when you have a Brit playing an American, and then you have to have a Brit playing an American who once in a while has, who would have to suddenly develop a Lithuanian accent. Mm-hmm. It would be very, yeah.
Yeah,
I can understand that. But yeah, he would pick up on speech patterns and stuff like that, just kind of start unintentionally mimicking a lot of people's behavior and stuff like that.
Okay.
But in the that's mostly more prominent in the book. In the show, I call it his person suit because, yeah, like you said, basically, Hannibal's the only one who sees who he really is. And as much as that annoyed him at first, until he got brought really good breakfast, apparently. so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leftover rabbit?
I think it was left over Cassie Boyle.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, I think it was left over of Cassie Boyle.
Okay.
So, and then season one, episode one as well, I also noticed that Will's the one who drives the car, and then after that we always see it's Hannibal who's driving it, and it's always been, it looks pretty upgraded, usually.
Yeah.
The rental cars that they get.
So now, is this a situation of I always drive my bitches around, or I always have my bitches drive me around?
What?
It's an old saying, or not old, but it's... I always drive my bitches, my girls, the person I'm with, around.
Okay.
Or is it going to be the opposite? Well, with Will being the passenger, I always have my bitches drive me around.
I have no idea. I've never heard this phrase before a day in my life.
It's slang. It's old. It's actually pretty old.
Okay. Well, I was going to go with Hannibal just has issues with the unspoken rule of driver picks the music, shotgun shuts his cake hole.
Mm. Now you're bringing in Supernatural.
Yep.
Just because you got the box set.
Yes. But still, I found it funny.
Okay.
I'm sticking with the music thing just because I find it funny.
Mm, I stick with it just because Hannibal just doesn't want to be seen in the beaters.
It could be that, too.
Okay.
Music is funner.
Yeah, but he's got an image to uphold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything, or...?
No, the one thing I did have, I already brought up. The whole chocolate blood thing.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of, huh. While I was eating my pizza, I was like, what did he do with the... Did he do the chocolate blood thing?
Okay.
Yeah, it was
you were thinking about that while eating your pizza?
Yeah, I know. it added a little bit of extra oomph to the pizza that I was eating. It's like, oh, yeah.
Okay. I know I've scared you many times, so...
you want some chocolate?
No. So... did you have any issues adjusting to it not being Anthony Hopkins?
No, none whatsoever.
None whatsoever? Okay. I was just curious about that. That's one of those things that...
No, I don't have a... There's... If... What was that one series that we were watching? Gladiator? No, not Gladiator. It was a Roman style... Spartacus.
Oh, Spartacus. Yeah.
Now, when they had to do that because the main actor did pass away...
Yeah, Andy Whitfield.
I could not finish... Could not get back into it because the actor changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've had some troubles with that one, too, because...
If they do a switch like that in the middle of an ongoing series, it throws me. I can't get... It's hard for me to get back into it.
Oh, okay.
Now, if it's going from, like, a movie to a TV series adaptation, yeah. I expect a character change or an actor change.
Yeah.
And if they stick with that actor throughout the whole thing, mm-hmm. it's not going to bug me.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, at first when I sat down to watch the TV show, I was kind of iffy. It's like, it's not Anthony Hopkins. But it didn't take long for me to kind of go, wow, this guy's really good.
And he's got pointy teeth.
Yes, he's got pointy teeth. Thank you for... I managed to ignore that for a minute.
You're welcome.
And that bite scene, when he bites Francis's throat out with those pointy teeth, it was like Vampire Lecter.
But yet, Miles Nicholson refuses to do any vampire movies or TV shows because of
that. I guess, yeah. I understand it. It's just...
Yeah, because he doesn't want to be stereotyped.
Disappointing.
You just want to keep seeing him bite other people's throats.
I have a vampire thing. We also talked about, like, that whole Hannibal versus Dexter and stuff like that.
The face-off?
Yes. You gotta be careful, because I had originally said face-off, and I was like, wait, no. If we're talking about Hannibal, face-off literally means someone's face is coming off.
Yeah, and then you looked up one of those YouTube videos about what if Hannibal Lecter and Dexter Morgan got into a fight, who would win?
Yes. And it was Hannibal. Dexter's too vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Hannibal's just willing to eat rude people in general. Yeah. So.
And he's not really... He knows where to cut and everything.
Well, so does Dexter. He was a doctor. Yeah. He's a trained doctor, too. So he would know how to do all that, too.
No, I haven't seen the TV series.
Yeah. Yeah. So he... It would definitely be an interesting fight because of that.
Yeah. But also, from the little I have seen, little clips here and there of the TV series Dexter, it's like he doesn't have Hannibal's finesse.
No. No, but he's I think he can also be more brutal on that side.
Yeah.
Because of that. He's willing to drug people before they ever know he's there, whereas Hannibal usually has to play with his food.
Careful, it bites.
Yeah. And so...
Don't play with your food. You give it the opportunity to bite back.
Yeah. And so, because of that, it will. That's the one thing that could make it give Dexter that upper hand, I think. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that he doesn't have to play around with it. He'll be... And if I'm going to play around with you, you're going to be tied up and... basic and drugged up while I do it.
Mm.
So.
Make it sound like a good time.
It was not meant to sound like a good time. And they're always going to be bad people that Dexter is killing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, wouldn't Hannibal be a definition of bad person?
He would be a definition of a bad person, yeah. So.
Now, is Dexter rude?
Oh, I'm trying to remember that. He tries to remain polite. Unless he is given, from what I understand, cause to be rude.
Okay. So, Hannibal would really have no reason to go after Dexter.
No, he wouldn't. So, Dexter would be the first one.
To make the move on Hannibal.
Yep.
And with Dexter being sneaky, that would be his only chance.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you, but Hannibal has that sense of smell, mm-hmm. so he could smell someone kind of trying to sneak up on him, probably.
Maybe, but remember, Dexter's all about that clean room and clean suit stuff, too.
He moves that. If he's going to kill Hannibal, it would probably be him trying to sneak into Hannibal's house, and he would, when he's not there, and then he would set up the clean room and everything.
Mm. Okay.
That's how he would do it. Or if he can't do it that way because, Hannibal always has someone there or something like that.
Yeah.
He would find a different place to set him up and probably make an appointment with him as a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And try to maybe get him that way.
Okay.
So, and then take him to a different clean room that he has set up. It's never the same place twice.
But Hannibal, being who he is, would be able to see through Dexter almost right away.
Yes, he would be able to see through him right away. And so he would be able to go on the defensive.
Yeah.
So, gosh, I want to see this so bad!
Just talking about the possibilities.
Oh, man! Come on! And Dexter will, at times, befriend a different killer. If they can work along the same path as him once in a while,
mm-hmm.
he will not take you down and will work with you, at least for a little bit. So, would Hannibal be able to talk his way out of it, is another question.
Well, he's a pretty smooth talker.
Yeah.
As we find out.
So, he could probably easily talk his way out of it as well.
Could.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Let's get off this one now.
Anything else is basically just comments and whatnot from Brian Fuller regarding future stuff or stuff that basically people have asked questions about and whatnot.
Okay.
That's why I was hoping you would have questions like that. So, a lot of people had contacted him via the quote-unquote missing scene from the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Because they show up at that house basically at morning time.
Oh, the little hideaway house.
Yeah. On the cliff side.
Okay.
And then the next scene we see is...
It's nighttime.
And a lot of people are like...
Where's the day?
What happened?
Yeah.
So, he did finally eventually answer that question in the most Brian Fuller way he possibly could. So
they had sex all day?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, lucky guess.
Yeah, well, look what I was talking about after all those commentary comments. It's pretty easy to guess.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, that was the only confirmed time that he has stated something like that happened.
Okay.
So, and that's basically all I have.
Well, we still got to talk about what we think might be happening next season, too.
Yeah, true.
And what were you about to say?
I almost forgot to mention Leda and the Swan.
Yeah.
Again.
I was going to bring it up right when you started mentioning about the missing scene.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, oh, yeah, the picture.
Yeah, he has this picture called Leda in the Swan that he hangs in
his... Leda or Lady?
Leda. Okay. L-E-D-A.
Okay. Leda.
Okay. Yeah. That he hangs in...
season one.
That's up in season one. And it hangs in his dining room. And it's basically, Leda is the queen of Sparta, and Zeus comes down in the form of a swan to seduce her. And that is how Helen of Troy gets born. And this picture is from the late 1700s. And it's quite, I showed you a picture.
It's a full frontal of this lady with her legs spread wide.
Yeah.
Bearing it all.
Yep.
And you got the swan going up into her, basically, depending on which depiction you're looking at.
Yeah, and that technically is the depiction that they used. And it was up. No editing. You can see everything all the way up until about episode 12 of season 1.
When NBC finally realized it.
Yeah, and so they blurred it out. Then by season 2, her lady parts are blurred out, and the swan no longer has a neck and head. So, yeah. They managed to get that one by for...
A couple episodes. Almost a full season.
Yeah. I got too amused by that once I found that. Oh, yeah, and then the... you had mentioned, end of season 2, the split screen moment.
Yeah. The wavering.
The wavering, yes. That wavering was there. I had to watch it, like, numerous times to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wavered on the Jack Crawford side.
Yep.
So.
And that was basically him saying he's wavering in his dedication to Jack. And his decisions to help Jack.
Yep.
And that, yeah, I just didn't catch who it was wavering on.
Yeah.
I just knew that whoever that part of the face belonged during conversation wise they were talking about, that they were wavering on their decision to help with the plan.
Yeah. And that becomes obvious, of course, in the next few episodes after that. But yep.
Okay, so next season, we're supposed to, like, kind of guess, I guess, a bit about this?
Yeah, I'm just kind of guessing things based off of what I could take from the books, mm-hmm. basically. And that book would mostly be Hannibal, because, as was stated, because of rights issues, Will Graham's going to have to play basically Will Graham and Clarice in it.
Yeah.
So.
But how do they do this? Because Hannibal, he was in prison, right?
Yeah.
In Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
So how are they going to recapture him?
I don't know. Not without it getting campy.
I know. And it's like, then you got the whole, if he's also going to be playing Clarice, he's back to his old role. It's like we're repeating season two again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we do know that in Hannibal, Jack Crawford dies a few years after Clarice has run off with Hannibal.
Okay.
And so, in the after Will disappears with Hannibal, would be a good time for him to, he's getting old enough that he has to start handing some of this stuff over. I mean, they were already having him take forced retirement earlier in the show itself. So I could see him bringing in someone like Clarice to try to train to continue his work.
Yeah.
Just coming as a writer, I would have her come in not as young as in Silence of the Lambs.
But already a trained agent?
Yes. But she doesn't have that whole Buffalo Bill case behind her, so she doesn't have the notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
But is a trained agent, so it would be no problem for her to start working on taking stuff like this on.
Well, she's got to have a couple of years' experience in order to. Mm-hmm.
And we have the whole Evelda Drumgo debacle, and so that could be why she's taking on other stuff, because that was not part of a criminal profiling unit; that was part of something else.
Okay.
And then so now Jack just felt bad for her or whatnot, is bringing her on, but has seized the potential in her.
Yeah.
Similar to Will, and hoping not to have another Will Graham.
And he's going to basically send her after what? Will and Hannibal?
I see her more doing it after Jack passes. Dies. Yeah. And then she's kind of starting to work the Buffalo Bill case that gets announced and known. There's an old trick from the 80s and 90s that TV shows used to use. I don't know if it would work now, though. Which would be recast Casey Roll as Clarice.
Recast Casey Roll?
She played Abigail.
Okay.
Because she would be much older now. She would be about the proper age. And if you have someone who looks like Abigail, has the orphaned history of Clarice, that would pull those two right out of hiding to help and assist her in any way.
Could have.
Because they will see that little aspect of her. It's, I could see that happening. Okay. Especially Will Graham. Especially if Jack Crawford has just died.
True.
That's just asking for one of those two to do something stupid.
More Will in that case.
Yeah, that's why I kind of put it on Will more than Hannibal.
Okay.
So, that's just random.
But the whole thing is that, how would they even interconnect or be able to communicate? She knowing who Hannibal is and everything, and Will Graham, because she would have heard stories from Jack.
Yeah, she would have.
And it's like, how would they even interact? Without her wanting to shoot them on sight.
Cell phones?
Use the Tattler? Use Freddy?
Yeah, that'd be one way to bring Freddy Lounge back. Mm-hmm. No, she would...
What?
She wouldn't keep her mouth shut.
What, Freddy?
Yeah, especially out of terror at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal and Will Graham?
Yep.
She was afraid of both of them. Now she will probably definitely be afraid of them.
You mean afraid of one of them?
Yeah. Well, no, she was afraid of both of them.
Singularly, though. They weren't working together.
Yeah, they. Well, she thought they were. Oh, so.
Okay.
So. Those are just some wacko theories I've come up with. Come on.
I just put out a really good fart, and she's like, oh my god.
Okay.
Anything else?
Do you have any theories?
Actually, yours is pretty good. I couldn't think of anything like that.
Okay.
Because like you said, you see Jack going into it, back to
Italy. Yes.
And looking for the two.
So he knows they're still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from there, it's just like kind of a manhunter, a manhunt type thing.
Yeah.
That's what that show would be, them on the run with Jack behind them.
Yeah.
Not much depth to it.
No. So, and they're supposed to be remaining on the lam, but I don't think that could happen for the amount of time that has passed. Because that was, like, when it was only going to be maybe a year or two.
Now it's been... lamb in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. I'm using other people's wording here, and... I hope they find a way to bring Bedelia back.
She's being eaten currently.
Maybe they just took the one leg.
Uh-huh. They're going to be carrying around quadriplegic here.
What?
They're going to be carrying around a quadriplegic here.
They could have left her there and had to run off before they got caught.
Mm-hmm. You believe that?
I want to, because it's Gillian Anderson, and I want Gillian Anderson to come back.
Okay. Keep wishing hard.
And then, of course, we have Chilton.
Yep.
Who...
What burnt, stabbed, beaten, shot. Yeah. Now he's going to be crushed in the next season.
Yeah, and you said by a chandelier, right?
Yep. You said piano.
Well, yeah, because it's the cheesiest thing that could happen.
Nah, it'll be a chandelier. Less chance of hitting something vital.
I just...
With all those wide open spaces.
He's just going to be nothing but a head.
Well, they have those in Futurama.
I know, but...
Talking heads in glass jars.
Yeah. It's like, you have him survive anything else. You're getting to such a ridiculous point.
I know. There's only so much a human body can take.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically.
Well, Freddie Lowndes died in the book after getting that one message about Reba to Will. So...
Okay.
But Chilton, he was still alive.
Are they tenderizing their meat?
Pre-smoked.
That was bad. Pre-smoked. Mm-hmm. So, anything else about it?
I cannot think of anything else.
Okay. So talk a little bit about future stuff that we want to do.
Yeah.
So, this is our first big arc that we've done as... cat podcasters, I guess.
Yep.
We learned a lot of stuff. Messed up a lot of things. But the main thing is, other than this podcast, we haven't had to redo any of them.
Until now.
I said other than this one.
Yeah.
We haven't had to redo any of them. And they're all actually pretty much raw.
Yeah.
We haven't edited in hardly any of them. The only editing that we did was basically we had to pause when someone would come into the room. Like, just whoever.
Yeah.
Because we do live in a
familial.
Is that the correct term?
I don't know.
A multi-family household. So, we got different generations here.
Yep.
So, we do have occasional interruptions where we have to pause and... kind of back up just a few seconds and restart.
Yep.
But other than that, I think I'm... And me needing to speak up more.
And me probably at times needing to be quieter.
Eh.
I'm loud.
One of the things we also learned is that in the very first couple episodes, there's a little microphone doohickey on the control panel on the computer that if you turn it all the way up, it records better.
Really?
Yeah, that's why it's all the way up.
Oh. Okay.
And that's why people could probably now hear me after, like, the second episode.
Yeah. And you're sitting closer to the microphone than you were at first.
Eh, maybe a little. But still a pretty soft speaker.
Yeah.
Okay, so, since Silence of the Lambs and that whole Hannibal movies and series were so dark and pretty, both mentally and everything.
Yeah.
We're going to do a couple more, our next couple ones are going to be kind of lighthearted movies.
Yeah.
Comedies.
Yeah.
Just something fun.
It
doesn't, even if it's part of a series, we're not going to go deep into them. Mm-hmm. Or even do the whole series.
Yeah.
Because our next one, Ann and I were talking about doing Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
An old 1988 movie, I think. I think it was 88.
I don't know.
Whatever. And she likes Austin Powers 2.
Yep.
The Spy Who Shagged Me, I think that's what it is.
Yep.
Okay. So we thought about doing those two in one.
Okay.
Maybe get Sling Blade or Another Round in there. Sling Blade is a little on the just kind of little on the dark side, but it's mostly kind of good.
Oh. Dark side, but mostly kind of good.
Yeah. The guy goes to prison for killing somebody. He gets out. He befriends a couple kids. Some type of trouble happens. I don't remember what, because I've only seen the movie like once or twice, and that was back a decade or so ago.
Okay.
And he takes the rap and goes back to prison for it, whatever it was.
Okay.
Because he didn't want, I think, I don't remember if they're kids or what, but he didn't want them to get in trouble and end up like he did.
Ah, okay.
Being in prison, getting that mentality and everything else.
Yep. And Another Round is a foreign movie, Danish one, actually. It's basically about the theory of humans were born with a 0.5 blood alcohol deficiency. So basically, you need to drink to stay functioning.
Okay. And that also stars
Mads Mikkelsen. I saw it because of the whole Hannibal thing, and I wanted to see him in something else. And it is the one movie that Mads Mikkelsen does not end up tied up in.
And you're disappointed?
No. Fantastic dance sequence at the end, by the way.
Okay.
Awesome.
River dance?
No.
Okay. Then it's not going to be that fantastic.
It is. It is that fantastic.
I guess we'll find out when I watch it.
Yep.
And then after we do some lighthearted movies, a couple episodes of those, we're going to go into an anime that I was able to talk the wife into.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the deal of me doing this with her.
Yes.
The anime is going to be is called Psycho Pass.
Yep.
Basically, it's like Minority Report, correct?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
No, because on the last episode, we were having a discussion between Thought Police and Minority Report.
Okay, yeah.
I explained it as like Thought Police.
Yeah.
And you said, or is it like Minority Report? And I said, what's Minority Report?
Yeah.
And you explained it as?
Precogs. They have precogs who basically are able to see and kind of predict the crimes that people are going to commit, so they go after them before they commit the crime.
Okay, that's Minority Report?
Yeah.
And Thought Police is? They just kind of read your mind?
No, there's no supernatural behind it.
Okay.
It's more like they watch you. It's more like they have cameras in your TV, and they can watch you that way. They just have various people who are working normal jobs that will just kind of turn you in if you start doing something that you're not supposed to.
Okay. Well, then
it's going to be more, I mean, it's a realistic thing.
Yeah, then it's more Thought Police.
Okay.
It is science-based.
Yes, but they're, okay.
It is science-based because humans basically build this computer called Sybil.
Okay.
Sybil system. And it monitors Japan or the Tokyo region. I can't remember if they got it outside Tokyo, Japan or not.
Mm-hmm.
What their crime coefficient is what it's described as.
Okay.
And through various use of computers and graphs, and I can't remember if there's any implants in the people or not, But if their crime coefficient reaches a certain level, basically it's their emotional state.
Okay.
Reaches a certain level, then the police are sent out to either arrest them, to retrain them or whatever it is, or kill them.
Yeah. And the computer, the devices in the TV, or they don't even use TV because TVs weren't around when this was written. Okay. Definitely not like we have, and they're supposed to be more like what we have right now.
Oh.
Yeah. It was written in 48. Okay. 1948. He just flipped the two last numbers around.
Okay.
And so most of the thought police are just various people who watch
people. Other people, yeah.
It really is more of a spy system, something that could exist almost at any time.
Okay.
So it is very much way less scientific than just the TV thing and whatnot.
Okay.
So you got to think of it less scientific than the technology that we actually have right now.
Yeah, but this one's more, this is future-based,
mm-hmm.
more technology.
Yeah, and keep in mind that I'm using terms now based off of technology we have a lot to describe it, because otherwise I'm having to use the 1984 lingo of which is known as INGSOC, and
okay,
we start delving into too much 1984 stuff.
Okay, but that is our plan going forward.
Okay.
And then we also thought about getting into Angels and Demons series.
Yeah, the Dan Brown stuff.
Yep. Especially with that new series coming out.
Yes, Robert Langdon series coming out on NBC.
Okay, ad.
Oh, man, I should not have done that. You poured my Ortolan.
Good night, people. Have fun. Bye-bye.